Today closes out our sermon series, Ending Well, where we've spent each week talking about what kind of legacy we want to leave. We've learned from Esther, Paul, Nehemiah, and others. We've talked about how we might leave behind a legacy of hope, or prayer, or faith, or redemption, or passion. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Today, we bring up one more suggestion, one more recommendation, if you will. We're going to talk about Jesus' legacy of forgiveness. We all need forgiveness because we all sin, which separates us from God. God loves us enough to give us the ability to make choices, but sometimes those choices drive us further away from God and each other. Because we have the capacity to make choices, we see ourselves as self-sufficient. We become self-centered, and because we don't want any limits placed on us, we rebel against our Creator and try to take control. We try to hide our sinfulness, even from ourselves. And we may need a person or even an event to help us see our sinful nature. When God draws near to us, we may feel guilty or ashamed because of our sin, overwhelmed by our need for forgiveness. In the ancient biblical world, sin is not just a moral failure, it's also a source of pollution or contamination. Sin threatens to spread like an infectious disease unless it's eliminated. One person sins by committing adultery or idol worship or disregarding the poor. Then 10 people, then 100. Suddenly you have entire nations thinking they can just forget what God has done for them and taught them. Insensitivity and aloofness in the face of human suffering are considered covenant betrayals. It's been said that it's with our sins we go to God because we have nothing else to go with that we can call our own. Thankfully, God doesn't turn God's back on God's people. God is forgiving and gracious even when we rebel over and over again. When we ate from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God clothed us before sending us out into the world. When we complained about wandering in the wilderness, God fed us manna from heaven and fresh water from rocks. And even when Jesus was beaten, mocked, humiliated, and executed, he showed us nothing but mercy and compassion. Rachel Held Evans puts it this way: we could not become like God, so God became like us. God showed us how to heal instead of kill, how to mend instead of destroy, how to love instead of hate, how to live instead of longing for more. When we nailed God to a tree, God forgave. And when we buried God in the ground, God got up. Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far God has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers we are dust." And 1 John 1:9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from everything we've done wrong." God does not just ask us to love our neighbors. God loves our neighbors. God does not just ask us to forgive each other. God forgives us. And it is God's mercy and forgiveness, not punishment, that restores us to a relationship with God after we've sinned. If there are situations where you know you have wronged someone, ask for forgiveness. Admit where you went wrong. Change your behavior. Because like God's forgiveness puts us in right relationship with God again, forgiveness also restores relationships between people. In his book, Just Mercy, Bryan Stevenson tells a story from when he was about 10 years old. There was another little boy visiting his church. Bryan asked him where he was from, and when this child tried to speak, he stumbled horribly. He had a severe speech impediment and couldn't get his mouth to cooperate. He couldn't even say the name of the town where he lived. Bryan had never seen someone stutter like that. He thought the boy must have been joking or playing around, so he laughed at him. Bryan then saw his mother looking at him with this mix of horror and anger and shame. She called him over to her and she said, "Don't you ever laugh at someone because they can't get their words out right. Don't you ever do that." Bryan said to his mom, "I'm sorry." He was devastated to be reprimanded by his mom so harshly. He said, "Mom, I didn't mean to do anything wrong." She said, "You should know better, Bryan. There is no excuse, and I'm very disappointed in you. Now, I want you to go back over there and tell that little boy you're sorry." Bryan said, "Yes, ma'am." "Then I want you to give that little boy a hug." "Huh?" "Then I want you to tell him that you love him." Bryan looks up in his mom's face, and to his horror, he sees that she is dead serious. So Bryan went up to the little boy who had struggled to speak. He says, "Look, man, I'm sorry." He lunged at the boy to give him a very awkward hug. "I love you." Suddenly, the other little boy hugged him tighter and whispered flawlessly, without a stutter and without hesitation, "I love you too." Later in the book, Stevenson wrote, "When you experience mercy, you learn things that are hard to learn otherwise. You see things that you can't otherwise see. You hear things that you can't otherwise hear. You begin to recognize the humanity that resides in each of us. Even as we are caught in a web of hurt and brokenness, we are also in a web of healing and mercy." He wrote, "I thought of the little boy who hugged me outside of church, creating reconciliation and love. I didn't deserve reconciliation or love in that moment, but that's how mercy works. The power of just mercy is that it belongs to the undeserving. It's when mercy is least expected that it's most potent. Strong enough to break the cycle of victimization and victimhood, retribution and suffering." Forgiveness is such a simple word, but it is so hard to do when you or someone you love has been hurt. I think that is why Dr. King said, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a constant attitude." We all know how heavy carrying around negative events from the past can get. Forgiveness helps us stop carrying that weight. When we forgive, we're giving ourselves permission to set it down and move on, to open ourselves up to spreading more of Jesus' light in the world. So much healing can be found through asking for forgiveness and offering it to others. Being forgiven can change someone's life, and forgiving can change our lives. When someone has really hurt you or someone you love, forgiveness doesn't happen overnight. It can take a long time to forgive people in your life who may have done awful things. But you may surprise yourself. You may one day find you're thinking of that person or what they did to you and realize that you don't feel any coldness towards them. And forgiveness doesn't mean there are no consequences for the people who have hurt us, but it can free them from guilt, and it can free us from anger. When we think about what kind of legacy we each hope to leave, I wonder, what could our lives look like if we adopted this radical forgiveness of Jesus? Who in our lives would be relieved of the guilt we put on them years ago? How much anger and pain would we be freed to let go of? How much lighter might we feel, free of any grudges or bitterness we have been hanging on to? What relationships might be able to start again? As you think through these questions, we'll have an opportunity to go to the room at the end of our educational hallway, Sunday afternoon, Monday, and Tuesday. We'll have a series of stations set up you can walk through to think about those you need to forgive and things that you need forgiveness for. We'll also be emailing out a virtual version, and we hope you take this opportunity to go deeper in our topic for this week. To close, I want to tell you all about a video I recently watched that showed different people holding cardboard signs with messages written on them, lamenting how others had hurt them, the damage other people had caused in their lives. Their signs read things like, "You used me. You stole from me. You lied to me. You abandoned me. You cheated on me. You fired me." More signs kept coming with messages like, "You picked on me. You ruined my reputation. You terrorized me. You abused me. You killed my daughter." And then each and every one of those signs was flipped over to reveal very different messages. They would flip over these messages of anger and pain, and instead the sign would read, "I forgive you. I will love my enemies. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I will pray for those who mistreat me. I will do good to those who hate me. I will turn the other cheek. I forgive you." Living with other people inevitably means that we get hurt. Other people can cause damage in our lives, and we can let that hurt build up resentment and bitterness in our hearts. But Jesus shows us there is another way in the healing power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key to a better world, but even more than that, forgiveness is God's gift to us. Jesus forgave us. He forgave our sins. That was his gift. And by allowing us to forgive each other, he opens us up to that divine love that we can give to one another too. Thanks be to God.